Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for today's Camp Notes for August 14th, 2024. Kind of a tough day for the Ravens today off the field. We'll talk about that first. The Ravens came out with a statement earlier this morning talking about a car crash involving Mark Andrews. Apparently, he was on the way to practice. I will just simply read the statement from the Ravens, which I think is the easiest way to handle these things. Said Mark Andrews was involved in a car accident while driving to the Under Armour Performance Center early Wednesday morning. Andrews was evaluated by medical staff at the Ravens training facility and did not sustain any apparent injuries. He later joined the team for morning meetings. Mark was originally scheduled for a non-practice day on Wednesday and is expected to return to practice in the coming days. Statement from Mark Andrews: I appreciate everyone's thoughts and well wishes. This is a great reminder about the importance of wearing seatbelts and remaining alert while driving a car. So apparently, Mark was wearing a seatbelt. That was confirmed by John Harbaugh, who said the crash was fairly significant. Don't have any other real details on the nature of the crash here, but. It was what it was, and Mark Andrews was out of practice today. I do kind of question the notion that he was scheduled for a non-practice day on Wednesday, or originally scheduled. I think he was probably originally scheduled. That original scheduling probably occurred after the car accident, because the Ravens have had zero vet days off this year. And if he was on his way to the Under Armour Center, then they would have just, you know, he's clearly he's coming to practice. If there was another reason why he was hurt the previous day or whatever, and he did kind of leave after a nice grab early in practice, then it's possible he was going to be out for that day. But anyway, regardless, appears the Ravens dodged a big bullet with that in terms of Mark Andrews, and hopefully he'll be back at practice soon. By the way, John Harbaugh did not have a time frame for that return. Now, the other news, unfortunately, much more serious. Joe D'Alessandris has a medical problem. I'll read the direct release by the Ravens. Said offensive line coach Joe D'Alessandris was hospitalized over the weekend for an acute illness, which will require ongoing treatment for an extended period of time. The hearts of the entire Ravens organization are with Joe D and his family, and we will continue to fully support them through his recovery. Obviously, this is very bad news. Joe, being the age he has, he's in his late 60s. You can imagine some possible things this could be. I'm not going to go down that road. But, you know, he is a beloved member of this team. I can't think of a person on the team that's any more loved. I mean, there are very interesting people. They're very outspoken people. They're very quotable people. Joe is just beloved by the other members of the organization. He's one of the few older coaches that I would say really relates well to younger players. And we often refer to that when a Zach Hoare is hired as a defensive coordinator, he relates very well to players because he played effectively in the same era as them. Came up through school, you know, a decade before some of these guys and, you know, 3 years before some of them. But he's played with Michael Pierce. So, he relates well to those players, having that mind. The guys who don't relate well are what we see on Hard Knocks and in very old episodes where somebody tries to quote Yoda from Star Wars to somebody who's 18 years old or 22 years old and just getting their first chance in the NFL, and they've never even seen Star Wars. So Jody was not that guy. He's a very active, direct offensive line coach, gets right in there to show a player in terms of footwork, in particular in terms of hands and use of his shoulders as well, exactly how to learn the dance steps of offensive line play. Clearly cares very deeply about his craft. And excuse me, he's the architect of the offensive line development that has seen so many mid and late round picks for the Ravens develop into big second contract players. You know, Ryan and UDFAs for that matter, Ryan Jensen fits in that group, and Rick Wagner, and a number of others that, you know, if you, all you need to is go to look down the offensive linemen the Ravens have drafted, they've been extremely successful at developing these guys where other teams, you know, develop wide receivers, say. But the only thing I can say is I really will miss Jody personally in watching his coaching style. He's the most fun individual coach to watch practicing his craft. Whenever they have it kind of exposed to the media where they're down in that one corner of field three, and I can actually stand just, 30 feet away from the practice, it's some of the best reporting and interesting information that I can glean about offensive line play or about coaching in general. So I'll miss him tremendously. The Ravens have brought in a new offensive line guy, Joe Warhop, who is a longtime offensive line coach, will take over. Travell Wharton, who is the assistant offensive line coach, I believe, will report to him. Travell apparently has been managing some of these things at times. The offensive line's actually been indoors and not doing their positional drills out of doors the last few days. And usually they do that when it's really hot anyway. And it actually is kind of cool the last couple of days. So they could have been outside, but they might have been trying to avoid questions of this type from coming up. I really don't know. So anyway, we wish Jody the best. We wish him a very swift return. And we can't help but feel sorry, of course, for the Ravens themselves and losing one of the best position coaches on the offensive line in the entire National Football League. So Jody, please get well soon. Let's move on and talk a little bit about practice. It was another beautiful day out there. One field of 11 on 11. We'll talk injuries first. And I'm going to take a sip of water before we do that. Okay, so absent Keaton Mitchell, still on the PUP list. He's the only one left on PUP. Tyler Linderbaum has been out since early August, was still out for yet another day. Arthur Maulette. Now, he is supposed to have not season-ending injury, but he was running on the side field today. That tells me he's probably already had his procedure done, and they're trying to just start the process, but he looked to be, running not full speed maybe, but he wasn't just jogging either. He was moving around and not looking bad at all. So, he was on field, I guess it's the one that's right in the L of the building. And most of the action was on field two where the media was standing. So, anyway, it's kind of interesting to see that. Would not have expected it. Rasheen Ali still out with a stinger. Russell Gage, undisclosed injury. It might be a hamstring, but he hasn't played since that, we haven't seen him on the field since the preseason game one. Chris Board still out with a concussion. Nate Wiggins still out with the shoulder. Again, they're hoping he's back for week one. Christian Matthew, undisclosed. Sanusi Kane, I would presume, based on the helmet-to-helmet contact, is probably concussion protocol, but I don't know that for a fact, so I'll just call it undisclosed. And then, of course, Mark Andrews with the news about the car crash today. Several Orioles were at practice today. Those included Cedric Mullins, Brandon Hyde, Gunnar Henderson. I didn't catch all the names, but those three at least were there. It's kind of cool. They were allowed to stand behind some of the plays as they were occurring down at field level, and apparently were very entertained by that. Harbaugh said he got in a little discussion about the I guess what you'd call it, coaching or managing methods, maybe motivational methods with Hyde, and I might be drawing more into that than was actually said. I mentioned the injuries earlier. I probably should have done that then, but there are a few players who were limited but back. TJ Tampa is back from PUP. I think this might be his third day back or it might just be a second, might just be a second day back. He ran positional drills, but he didn't run one-on-one drills. So that's part of the ramp up. Yesterday and maybe the last couple of days before that, I'm trying to remember exactly when he came back. I believe he was just running on the side and doing so in uniform. So this was really nice to see, and it's just part of the ramp up process. We'll see how long it takes him to get back and see if he can get in that last preseason game at this point, which I think would be a reasonable goal. Bateman was back full. He participated in 11 on 11s today, had some targets in those. I don't think they constrained his reps, but they might have. And I'll just say he did get some 11 on 11 action. Trayvon Mullen back wearing number 30, ran positional drills. Did not see him out there on any 11 on 11 or even any 7 on 7 action. So he's still probably about the same spot where TJ Tampa is, getting ramped up to play, and hopefully gets a chance in the last preseason game as well. Boy, add Tampa and Mullen to the extraordinary depth of the Ravens secondary, and you really have something in terms of a lot of people to choose from. Would not surprise me if the Ravens trade a cornerback at the end of camp. And it could be could be just about anybody, honestly. It could be a rookie they trade, and it could be a third or fourth year guy that they trade, such as, you know, it would not be inconceivable they trade JAD to a team that needed a corner, for example, and had something that the Ravens needed, whether that's a draft pick or a player who could help them this year. So anyway, a lot of depth at corner, and they've traded away depth like that before, when they traded Ben Bredesen and when they traded Sean Wade, the guy who went to New England, was a fourth round pick, and they got something back for him right away that summer. All right, I'm going to go through the 11 on 11 and 7 on 7. And because I'm going to the Oriole game tonight, I have to kind of do this quickly and do this from the book, so I didn't have time to do what I usually do, which is to type these out and have them all prepared. So we're going to be a little bit off the cuff today. A couple of things from positional drills I want to mention first. There was some tight end and outside linebacker work being done, and it's basically tight ends trying to block an outside linebacker. And Kadir Ishmael, again, at the center of the maelstrom here, had a very nice effort, and he might have blocked to the ground Tavius Robinson. The two had a second rep together, and a scuffle developed between the two. I think that obviously, if you're Tavius Robinson, you're not happy being pancaked by a tight end. And they kind of had I'll call it an extended rep, where the rep was over and they continued to block each other and play hard. And Kadir appeared to maybe get the worst of that one, but it was obviously a heated.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab. Also, on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A contentious battle that was born of a win from the first rep. And then he was later in practice, Kadir was put on the ground by Adafe Owe, who stood over him for a moment, you know, in the way that taunting is not supposed to be done during a regular game. I guess maybe kind of teabagging him would be the term I would use for it. That was clearly a response to Kadir blocking, having the successful win against Tavius Robinson, which is that only, you know, looks good for Kadir Ishmael to get a reaction out of the outside linebackers like he is from Ajabo, from Tavius Robinson, and now from Owe. As much as they want to be a brotherhood, they look kind of foolish frankly, doing that against a rookie tight end who's obviously having success, some success pushing them around. All right, what else we got going on? We got some one-on-one plays. I'll talk about that. We had everybody's running the same route, which is kind of BS one-on-one. It probably more favors the defense because they know what the route is coming. But Holman had a nice PD. We had a touchdown from Lamar to Holman, to Lamar to Aguilar with Holman in coverage. It was about 20 yards down the right sideline. And then, of course, they're running the same route the next three players, so you know what's coming. But Johnson threw a touchdown to Wade, same deal. And then Wallace caught a touchdown. I'm sorry, Wallace was targeted on the same route, and Holman had a PD against him. So it is kind of doesn't mean as much, obviously, when you know what's coming after that. We saw on the other side of the field, Scotty Washington got his pass broken up. This was kind of the mirror route of this down the left sideline in the end zone from Lamar. It was broken up by Eddie Jackson. Then we saw Holman get another PD versus Wallace. So Tech second on that matchup for the day. And then we saw Hamilton get a pass breakup against Likely. So honestly, some interesting things. The run drills that I already mentioned, the kind of the payback teabagging that Owe gave Ishmael during run drills. Move ahead to 11 on 11s. A variety of stuff happened today. It looked like they were scoring practice, and it was a one-point win, potentially. It was a 27-26 offense over the defense, and then they turned the scoreboard off, and so I didn't see how it ended, or even if they had any further scoring, or even if they really counted that scoring. So could have been a lot of things, but this would have been one of the days the offense, you know, was playing it very tight with the defense. Lamar had a series that did not go well. It went, basically three and out. We had Johnson come on the field and total disaster struck. So the first play, a false start and a lap from Tayshaun Manning. Second play, a false start and a lap from Josh Jones. And the third snap was a sack fumble from Ajabo. Now, normally I'm not allowed to touch the quarterback, but I'm sure he's saying, I got all ball here, kind of like a basketball non-foul or block shot. But he knocked the ball free. Can't do anything but whistle the rep dead at that point. So one of Ajabo's highlights certainly from camp so far. Next series of downs. Let's see, what do we have that was really good? We had a undercut in zone by 14. So that's Hamilton again versus Aguilar, about 5 yards, five circle. And I do not have that noted for a PD or an INT or anything like that, but that was what it was. What else we got? We got a pass defensed by 21. It looked like basically a well-contested ball from Johnson to Bateman, 15 yards up the right sideline. Throw was a little bit behind. I could not tell if Stevens actually played the ball, but he certainly, I think he's playing the hands of the receiver, in fact, but he certainly distracted Bateman enough that the ball was not hauled on. The ball was also a little bit behind him. So between those combination of those two things, it fell incomplete. Let's see. We had a drop by Wade on a pass from Johnson, about 5 yards between the numbers and left hash. Then we had another false start on the next Johnson play. This one was Simpson, the right tackle, and he did a lap. Then we had a very nice sliding catch in space by Reigerman. Okay, now Reigerman is a guy I've noted for. He's a tight end slash fullback. And I've noted him for a number of drops and other kind of bad plays as a receiver during this camp. This was his nicest play at camp. It was about 30 yards between the numbers and the right hash. He slid to the ground and made the catch, appeared to save it off the ground. Nobody was really close in coverage. So also good from that perspective. So you had some 7-on-7 action then. Pass defensed by Simpson. It was about 15 yards, three circles, watching practice, and commented that's one of the few deep drop balls that Simpson has made a play on. So it looked like excuse me, it was intended for Anthony Miller about 15 yards off the line of scrimmage. And for him to make a play that deep is exactly what the Ravens will need out of him to be a really effective cover guy. And it is something that he was kind of known for at Clemson, was being able to get deep enough to make those plays as a converted safety. Lamar had a couple consecutive completions to Likely. Then with Lamar still at quarterback, Charlie Kolar had a false start, did a lap. And man, did he shortcut that lap. You know, we've been getting on Ben Cleveland some for kind of running across the goal line and on the side of the field where the play was going towards. And in this case, Kolar, not only he didn't even cut across at the goal line, cut across about the 10-yard line, and then he came back diagonally, you know, to about the 25-yard line to go out of bounds. A play went deep left there. He could have almost been the intended receiver on. So, it's just kind of one of these things that probably doesn't look the best to coaches when you're kind of shortcutting activity like that. Don't really have anything to say about the scout session that they ran. Marlon Humphrey did have a pass defense in the end zone in coverage of Kadir Ishmael. That was a pretty nice play. We also had a nice push out of bounds from Harrison on Collier that looked pretty good. So a couple of good plays by the defense there. A nice run right that got stopped by a combination of Jones and Adafe for no gain. That was, I believe, Kelly on that run. So we had Johnson handing off to Kelly on that play. So part of the problem was the scout teams often run under some specific situation, oftentimes like a red zone situation. So we had to run down to the other end of the field to even see it. And I missed, I'm sure, at least one play. Anyway, that's enough about that. We go back to 11 on 11. A very long pass from about 40 yards down the right sideline from Lamar to Flowers. That was incomplete, but a flag was thrown. I assume it was on the only coverage guy I saw in the area. It was Bump Cooper. Cooper's had a great camp. But that pass looked like it was well thrown and might have been caught. Then we saw two consecutive PDs by Humphrey. So the first, both off Johnson, both intended for Ryan. The first one was about 25 yards down the right sideline. The next one was about 20. In both cases, the first case, he made the PD and didn't really come close to interception. The second one, he had a near interception, and he's kind of hitting his head out of bounds, upset with himself about not getting the football. So Broderick Washington rush in for a sack of Emory Jones. Very next play, though, Emory Jones hit Isaiah Washington on a very deep play where he beat Kyle Hamilton 35 yards down the right sideline, probably beat him by 10 yards on the play. So a nice throw and one of Emory Jones' big moments from camp, I'm sure. We saw Lamar take a mesh run from 43. That's something we really haven't seen very much in camp is the mesh runs. I think I've commented on this. I know I've asked about it with regard to Derrick Henry and his familiarity with the mesh and what he's done before at Tennessee. And the answer from Monken was that he really hadn't gotten a chance to see it yet. But this was an attempt to simulate that read option play. And Lamar looked very good in terms of getting out in space and moving around. What else we got? We got an interception by Bo Braid on the next series. That was thrown by Lamar, intended for Likely. It was about 20 yards down the middle of the field, and Braid made the interception. It was negated by a defensive offsides foul. Now, that didn't obviously have anything to do at all with the play, particularly since I didn't denote any pressure on that play. So I'm sure that's kind of frustrating, but in Braid's book and in the defensive backs room, I'm sure they're going to be happy with the tape on the interception at least. So that was good to see. We had some quick tackles. I don't think I have anything I really need to say about the rest of these plays here. I know there was one more with Devin Leary and Ajabo appear to be in again and getting good pressure on the quarterback, but he drew a hold of some sort. They signaled for the hold. I think it was Josh Jones who did that. It is possible it was a tight end on that side, but I'm not 100% sure. Then they went to some quarter speed drills. So they're just doing walkthroughs at that point. There was a false start with no lap called. There are certain players who, I don't know if this is going to break down or not, but they obviously don't like running laps. I don't think anybody likes running laps, but they especially don't like to run laps when they're missing reps because of it. So a lot of players probably would like the whole lap system to go away and just, you know, move on and get back to playing football. And obviously some fairly dark news for the Ravens today, specifically with Joe D, and hopefully some, no harm done with Mark Andrews. And we'll see obviously that over the course of the next few days, but Joe D, again, best wishes, get well soon. Hope your family is there for you. And take it to heart that everybody here in Ravens camp and whatnot really misses you and wants to see you back. That's it for today, and we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free? TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.